Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Michael. I'm reading this week's San Angelo Standard Times. These articles are from the week of November 8th. I'm doing the reading on Thursday, November 12th, and I'll start with the most recent articles. COVID-19 update. San Angelo and Tom Green County, November 12th. 6,662 positive cases reported. 235 new positive tests. 103 deaths, 62 from Tom Green County, 41 out-of-county residents. 67 currently hospitalized. 1,440 active cases. San Angelo infant dies after testing positive for heroin, by Rosanna Frere, published November 12th. A two-month-old infant has died after testing positive for heroin and being on life support since November 7th. The 21-year-old mother, Destiny Harbor, was arrested on suspicion of intentionally and knowingly causing serious bodily injury to a child. She remained in the Tom Green County Jail as of 4 p.m. November 12th, in lieu of a $100,000 bond. The doctor who treated the baby told detectives they observed injection sites on the infant's hand, arm, and head, and testing discovered opiates, heroin, in the infant's urine, according to court documents and police. The infant was later transferred to Cook Children's Health System in Fort Worth due to the severity of her medical condition. San Angelo police confirmed she remained on life support before succumbing to her injuries on November 10th. Her body was sent for an autopsy, police reported Thursday evening. The girl was born in late August at a house in the 2200 block of Webster Avenue and had not received medical care since birth, according to court documents. The infant's grandmother and the grandmother's boyfriend assisted with the birth, including tying off the umbilical cord with a shoelace. Dustin Smock, 34, and Kristen Bradley, 37, were arrested on suspicion of intentionally and knowingly causing serious bodily injury to a child. Smock remained jailed as of 4 p.m. November 12th in lieu of a $50,000 bond. Bradley was released November 8th on a $50,000 bond. The decision on what to charge is not public information at this time. That will be known if an indictment is ultimately returned by the grand jurors, District Attorney Allison Palmer said Thursday. In any case, if a higher level of offense is indicated, bonds will likely be increased. Having trouble paying your San Angelo water bill? City offers aid for low-income customers, by John Tufts, published November 12th. City Council members approved using $100,000 of coronavirus relief funding, CARES, last week to assist low-income residents of San Angelo in paying their water utility bills. In January, the city partnered with the Concho Valley Community Action Agency, CVCAA, to administer the low-income assistance program. City officials said $50,000 was provided for the program, but most of those dollars were used by March 2020, according to a news release. Eligibility for the program is based on the number of people living in a household and household income level, according to the release. The partnership agreement with CVCAA was also amended to allow customers to receive financial assistance through this program twice per calendar year, according to the release. Officials stated the assistance program is for water utility payments only and not other non-city utilities such as electric or gas. San Angelo water customers who have received assistance in 2020 once already are eligible to receive assistance for a second time. Officials encouraged residents experiencing hardships to apply. How to sign up for the program. Residents interested in getting assistance should contact the Concho Valley Community Action Agency. Information about the program can be found online at cvcaa.org or by calling 325-653-2255. 1-800-273-4111 or at 1-877-41-CVCAA. Officials with the program said their offices are currently closed to the public and ask that residents either call or visit their website for information. San Angelo officials call it a game changer. Railroad construction to begin in 2020 by John Tufts. Published October 6th. Update November 12th. San Angelo City officials announced construction on a rail port is set to begin before 2020 ends, according to a city news release on Thursday, November 11th. The sale of the 183-acre triangular tract of land for $541,813 east of Schrittner Road was finalized in October, according to the release. Construction will begin prior to the end of the year, and initial operations should begin in January 2021. The release stated. Original story. City Council members approved ratifying a $600,000 real estate contract and performance agreement Tuesday with South Plains La Mesa Railroad, a decision one official called a game changer for San Angelo. As part of the agreement, Wisner Holdings, doing business as South Plains La Mesa Railroad, will purchase nearly 200 acres from the city to operate a rail port. The city purchased a 183-acre triangular tract of land for $541,813 in September 2019 in hopes of boosting San Angelo's economy by adding an industrial rail facility. The site officials purchased is bonded by the Texas Pacifico Rail Line on the west side of the property, with its base along East 50th Street and its apex at Farm to Market Road 2105. Wearing a powder blue face mask, Guy Andrews expressed his enthusiasm for the project. "This is an exciting day," said Andrews, a director for the City of San Angelo Development Corporation, commonly referred to as COSADC. "We view this as a game changer for San Angelo. We've been working on this project for nearly 2 years." Andrews stood on the other side of a plexiglass shield positioned 6 feet away from San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter and other city council members Tuesday, October 6th. It was the first time in nearly 6 months officials had gathered at the McNeese Convention Center, 501 Rio Concho Drive, to conduct an in-person city council meeting since COVID-19 led meetings to be hosted virtually to reduce the spread of the virus. Council members wore masks and sat behind plexiglass shields during the meeting. Andrews told city officials the $600,000 sales contract would have 0% interest for 6 years and payments would be forgiven to allow the company to own the facility so long as South Plains Railroad, La Mesa Railroad, upheld its end of a negotiated performance agreement. "The main provisions of our performance agreement with them is that they will initially invest $1 million to build out the initial facility," Andrews said. "In addition to following local, state, and federal guidelines and maintaining a functional rail facility, other portions of the agreement include keeping at least 2 full-time employees by 2023 and doing business with local contractors for supplies. Rail facility could lead to more businesses and more jobs and make San Angelo a transportation hub." During an interview Wednesday, October 7th with the Standard Times, Andrews stated work on the facility would likely begin in the next 6 months, with plans for the rail port to be completed by December 2021. He also said the rail port could make San Angelo a key transportation hub in the future, which could lead to new businesses and more jobs for residents. "One of the values of this rail port is that it ties with the opening of the South Orient Railroad, which is operated by Texas Pacifico," Andrews said. "We could become a new major distribution center of products coming out of Mexico, and that also gives us an opportunity to send products to Mexico as well. It could be a huge deal with the North American Free Trade Agreement. San Angelo is the largest city on that rail line, so we're well positioned to accept that type of freight to ship goods and services to Mexico. According to its company website, South Plains Lamesa Railroad has been serving the South Plains region of Texas since 1993. The company has a rail park located in Slayton, Texas, and serves as a transloading site for West Texas and Eastern New Mexico. Council members ratified the contract unanimously, 7-0. "This is an exciting opportunity for San Angelo," said District 6 Councilwoman Billy DeWitt, who thanked city officials involved with the project. Gunter echoed her thanks and said the rail facility would improve San Angelo's economy. "This is hugely important for us, not only for potential recruitment of companies going forward, but to support all the local businesses, whether they're agricultural, oil and gas related, or any other things. This has been a long time coming," Gunter said. A closing date for the real estate contract has been set for October 15, 2020. San Angelo bar owner finds way to keep business going amid COVID by purchasing Pizza Shop, by Rosanna Frere, published November 12th. After nearly throwing in the towel, a San Angelo bar owner found a way to survive during the COVID-19 pandemic by purchasing a local pizza shop. Fernando Fuentes, owner of Chadburn Tavern, was worried about his 19-year-old bar going under after Governor Greg Abbott shut down bars earlier this year. "Going into 2020, we thought we were looking good," Fuentes said. "We would look at our bank account and saw the light coming out of the day. When COVID hit, it was ugly. Our business account kept dropping." The owner of the bar at 115 South Chadburn Street found out his bar could open if food was being served. "My head was spinning with lots of different options," Fuentes said. "I never thought I would run a restaurant. Then everything fell into place and I was able to save it all." Fuentes began an unexpected conversation with Beacom Zeke, owner of Lily's Pizza and Napoli's Italian Restaurants. Zeke opened Lily's Pizza in November 2019 and soon found himself expanding on his other restaurant. The Italian restaurant announced it would be closed for good May 7th after being closed for nearly 3 months due to COVID-19. In August, the owner surprised San Angelo by reopening in the former Zentner's Daughter building. "The Zentner's building is a lot bigger and was going to take more of his time," Fuentes said. Next thing he knew, Fuentes found himself becoming the new owner of Lily's Pizza. "I thought there was no way," he said. I'm not restaurant material, but it was a blessing in disguise." Fuentes is now going to be transporting food to the bar to keep the facility open. "We are going to try to keep everything from the restaurant the same," Fuentes said. "However, we are serving my take on Rojo's now." Fuentes grew up with Shakey's Rojos, seasoned potato slices that have been a favorite of San Angelo residents for decades, and has been working on his own recipe from home for the past 25 years. "I think I have the closest recipe to Shakey's," he said. "They call me Nando, so my recipe, Nanjo's." Fuentes said the bar is not anywhere near reaching what it was making before the pandemic, but feels God will take care of him and his businesses. "We are still way in the hole, but at least we are going down the right path," he said. "You just have to take the ride and enjoy it, because everything happens for a reason." San Angelo Animal Control wrangled some cattle. Do you recognize them? By Elena Edgen, published November 12th. A bull, cow, and a calf roaming San Angelo had been corralled by City Animal Control Monday, according to a Facebook post by the city page. The City of San Angelo Animal Shelter has three cows, two of which have yellow tags. The bull has a number 2 tag. The cow has a number 1 tag, and the calf is not tagged. People can contact Animal Services at 325-657-4224 for more information. San Angelo veteran gets a new smile donated to him by local dental surgeon, by Rosanna Frere, published November 11th. U.S. Army veteran Bruce Alred smiled widely as he admired his new teeth in the mirror. When Allred, 65, entered the U.S. Army, he had a bright smile, but that changed the first time he was incarcerated. "I used to have beautiful teeth," Allred said Wednesday, November 11th. "Then the first day I was in prison, I got hit in the mouth. The blow instantly knocked out one of his front teeth, and others were damaged in a motorcycle crash," he told the dentist. Allred found himself running afoul of the law after his 4 years of military service, racking up several DWI convictions that landed him in and out of jail. "Allred has been through a lot, and it's an honor for me and my team to provide dental care to him as a special gift for Veterans Day," Dr. Alan Rodriguez said. While in prison, Allred said he found purpose. "When I was in prison, I started reading the Bible cover to cover, and over a 2-year process, sitting on the edge of my bed, I confessed my sins and asked Jesus to come into my life." Today, he volunteers in prison ministry with Forgiven Ministries of San Angelo to give back and help others. "I've been going to my church in San Angelo for 13 years now, and I have a special heart for helping prisoners," Allred said. On Wednesday, Dr. Rodriguez with Affordable Dentures and Implants restored Allred's beaming smile. Allred had an appointment with Dr. Rodriguez for a set of dentures, and when the dentist learned about his story and that he didn't qualify for VA benefits, he decided to cover the check. "We want to help Bruce have a beautiful smile again so he can smile confidently as he helps others," Rodriguez said. Allred went into the service to become a mechanic and ended up training for and becoming a U.S. Army Ranger. He served on an aircraft carrier in Cam Ranh Bay, Vietnam, helping to evacuate troops near the end of the Vietnam War. "We saved a lot of lives during those trips, but there are a bunch of names on that big black wall who I know," Allred said, referring to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. Allred said he never would have expected someone to give him new teeth, especially for free. "They didn't hand me a bill yet, so they are pretty good people," Allred said after the procedure. "They are looking out for us." San Angelo ISD promises swift action in Glenn Middle School incident, published November 12th. Glenn Middle School is again in the news after a video began circulating on social media showing a girl being hit while other students filmed the incident with cell phones. San Angelo ISD said in a Facebook post late Wednesday, November 11th, that it was investigating the incident, which occurred at a practice field as students were being dismissed from classes. Immediately, district leaders and campus administrators began an investigation and the process of identifying the students involved. Parents and guardians of the involved students will be contacted, the statement said. The district said it takes the matter seriously and promised swift and immediate disciplinary action. "The safety of our students is our first priority," the district said. "It encourages anyone facing threats of any kind to report the issues to a district or to school officials, law enforcement, or on the district's Stay Alert link, which can be found on its main website." Roughly a year ago, the school was facing a similar incident, during which a boy was filmed being struck in the face. San Angelo ISD goes online on Fridays for high school students, starting November 20th, by John Tufts, published November 12th. High school students attending in-person courses at San Angelo Independent School District will switch to virtual classes on Fridays beginning November 20th, according to a district news release. Due to staffing considerations, including allocation of limited substitutes and the health and wellness of our community, San Angelo ISD will pilot fully virtual Fridays for our high school in-person students November 12th, December 4th, and December 11th. The release stated. District officials said Fridays are consistently the most challenging day for staffing purposes. On November 11th, students taking in-person classes at the following high schools will not report to campus, but instead connect online using Schoolology Learning Management System. District officials said those campuses include students in grades 9 through 12 at Central High School, Central High School on Oak Street, Lakeview High School, Pays, and Carver campuses. High school staff will continue to report to campuses for work on Fridays, according to the release. Elementary and middle school in-person students will not be impacted and will continue to have in-person instruction as regularly scheduled, the release stated. There have been 76 reported positive cases of COVID-19 at San Angelo ISD campuses between November 5th and the 12th. Need a savory sweet to get you through the day? The latest scoop has Maple Bacon Ice Cream by Rosanna Frere, published November 10th. Need a savory sweet to get you through the day? Don't worry, the latest scoop has Maple Bacon Ice Cream starting November 10th. The new flavor at the downtown shop, 37 West Concho Avenue, is part of Taster Tuesday, where a new taste is created every week. Owner Scott Clemmer said they have 25 quarts of maple bacon ice cream, which will serve about 140 scoops. New flavors can last up to the next Tuesday, but can also be gone by Saturday. Clemmer doesn't know what the new ice cream will be for next Tuesday yet. However, pumpkin spice is available through the fall season. Christmas flavors will be making their way to the menu soon as well. New district engineer named for San Angelo TxDOT branch by John Tufts, published November 10th. The San Angelo district of the Texas Department of Transportation has named Christopher Chris Cowan as its new district engineer. Cowan was appointed to the position October 19th following the August retirement of district engineer Mark E. Jones, according to a TxDOT news release. Cowan will oversee the planning, designing, building, operation, and maintenance of the multimodal state transportation system for the 15-county San Angelo District, the release stated. The district comprises Koch, Concho, Crockett, Edwards, Glasscock, Erion, Kimball, Menard, Reagan, Real, Reynolds, Schleicher, Sterling, Sutton, and Tom Green counties. Cowan began his TxDOT career in 2000 with the Bryan District, working in the Brenham area office. While in Brenham, he held several positions assisting with the design, construction, and maintenance operations of a three-county area, according to a news release. In 2007, Cowan joined TxDOT's construction division, serving as a field engineer assisting the Dallas, San Antonio, Laredo, Lufkin, and San Angelo districts with construction contract management. He returned to the Bryan District in 2011 to serve as the Director of Construction, the release states. Cowan oversaw the construction program with contracts totaling more than $500 million and assisted the district's leadership with managing day-to-day operations, the release states. Cowan earned his Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from Texas A&M University in 2000, and he received his license as a professional engineer in 2005. Sutton County now under mask mandate after passing 31 active COVID cases by Rosanna Frere, published November 10th. As of November 10th, Sutton County and City of Sonora residents and visitors are now required to wear a face mask in public spaces, according to a news release. The county was previously exempted from the requirements to wear face masks, but changed after passing 31 or more active COVID cases. We have joined the majority of Texas counties in following the direction of Governor Abbott, Executive Order GA-29, Arturo Fuentes, City of Sonora City Manager, said. Every person in Sutton County must wear a mask covering their nose and mouth when inside a building or space open to the public. They must also wear masks when in an outdoor public space, whenever it is not feasible to maintain 6 feet of social distancing from another person not in the same household. Sutton County, population 3,678 people, is south of San Angelo and includes the town of Sonora. Seniors need routines to stay healthy, and COVID-19 is making that hard. by Sandra Aguilar, City of San Angelo. A routine is defined as a sequence of events or actions that are regularly followed. Many families have a routine when it comes to getting their children to school, then to after-school extracurricular activities, and finally arrive home to eat dinner and get ready for the next day to do the whole routine again. The family gets accustomed to their scheduled days and ultimately enjoy their weekend where they can wind down, rest, and prepare for another week. This was similar to what the senior participants at the San Angelo Senior Centers experienced every day before the COVID-19 pandemic hit. These routines help the senior participants stay active physically and mentally. Keeping yourself active as you age is important to the body and well-being of a person. It helps reduce symptoms of anxiety and depression, which can arise in the older adult population because several of them are living alone or do not see their family as much because of distance and traveling. Several participants attended the centers each day to take a class, play games, and or eat in the dining room for lunch at Santa Fe Crossing. The morning cardio and strength exercise at 9 a.m. was a popular class, holding almost 40 people some days. The people in the class enjoyed walking around the room before class started and then doing the exercise routine taught by the instructor. Another popular class was art on Tuesdays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Each person had their own space to work on their art projects and still be close enough to enjoy conversation with other participants. It has been difficult to see many of our regular participants lose their routine in attending the activities at the senior centers because of the closure due to COVID-19. The uncertainty of having the high-risk population gather and spread this disease is something staff understands and wants to prevent. The safety and health of our senior citizens are our top priorities. When the COVID-19 class cases decline, we want to have a safe environment for our participants. Staff will be ready to open our doors and see them adjust to a somewhat familiar routine. Until then, do your best to reach out to other senior participants who you got to know while enjoying our facilities. Keep active with walks in your neighborhood safely, or benefit from San Angelo's parks and walking trails. Don't forget that we are still at the senior centers offering curbside meals from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, via our nutrition program for seniors 60 years and older. You can still establish a temporary routine similar to the regular routine you had before. Uvalde Teen Killed in Rollover Near Eden by Elena Edgen, published November 10th. A Uvalde teen died Sunday after a rollover crash near Eden, according to a Texas Department of Public Safety news release. About 3:32 p.m. Sunday, November 8th, a 2002 Mercury Villager was driving northbound on U.S. Highway 83, approximately 8 miles south of Eden. The vehicle swerved into the center median and corrected to the right when it started to skid, according to the release issued Monday morning. The vehicle rolled at least 2.5 times before landing on its roof facing east on the center median. The driver, Jesus Daniel Perez, 17, was ejected from the vehicle and pronounced dead on the scene by Scott Spoontz, Concho County Justice of the Peace, according to the release. San Angelo ISD receives 127 name suggestions for Lee Middle School survey. By Elena Edgen, published November 9th. A San Angelo ISD middle school, named after the leader of the Confederate Army, is one step closer to having a new name after the school board accepted several suggestions Monday. The San Angelo ISD school board shared a list of suggested names Monday, submitted by the community, nearly 3 weeks after approving the renaming of Robert E. Lee Middle School. Over 120 names were nominated, the majority during the past week. The recommended names on the list were Aronetta Hamilton Pierce, Airman First Class Elizabeth Jacobson, Albert Tiarina, Allie Thomas, Ann Sullivan Macy, Barack Obama, Ben Ficklin, Benjamin Henry Grierson, Benji Francis Brooks, Bess Whitehead Scott, Betty and Harvey Latham, Bison, Bobby Sheffield, Buffalo Fort, Buffalo, Buffalo Soldier, Cactus, Carol Santry, Chief Master Sergeant Ronnie Hawkins Sr., Childress, Chris Kyle, Colonel Charles E. Powell, Community, Concho, Concho Pearl, Concho River, Concho Valley, Crispus Attucks, David Crockett, David Lee, De Zavala, Lorenzo De Zavala, Donald J. Trump, Dr. Arnaldo De Leon, Dr. Carol Ann Bonds, Elmer Kelton, Ava Comunez Tucker, Forward, Friendship, Future, General Norman E. Brown, General Ronnie Hopkins, George Bush, Grace Woodruff Cartwright, Guadalupe, Guidance, Harmony, Harris Brinson, Heart of Texas, High Achievers, Highland Heights, Houston Heart, Ima Jean Cookie Roberts, Inspiration, Jack W. Mathis, Jamie Lee, Jason Poindexter, John F. Kennedy, John R. Lewis, Jose Antonio Navarro, J.T. Henderson, Juan Seguin, Humano, L.E.E., Leading Educational Excellence, L.E.E., Legacy Equality and Excellence, L.E.E., Legacy of Educational Excellence, Las Perlas, Lee, Legacy, Liberty, Lillian Dunlap, Lionheart, Live Oak, Lloyd V. Matson, Lone Star, Longhorn, Los Lonely Boys, Luis Reggio, Mae Jemison, Major Troy L. Gilbert, Martin Luther King Jr., Mary E. Lee, Mary Frances Butler Owens, Memorial, Marichi, Nathan Bedford Forrest, Neil Peart, North Star, Nottingham, O.C. Fisher, Pearl, Philip A. Neighbors, Prosper, Reverend Floyd Kreider, Robert E. Lee, Ronald McNair, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Saints, Sally K. Ride, Samuel McCulloch Jr., San Angelo Central, San Angelo, San Angelo Public Middle School No. 1, San Angelo Saints, Santa Angela, Sergeant Finnis D. McCleary, Sergeant Corby Lee Kennedy, Sherwood, Sherwood Way, Shirley Chisholm, Stan Lee, Sunset, Susan B. Anthony, Thomas A. Edison, Three Rivers, Trancanillo G. Perez, Ulysses Grant, Unified, Union, Unity, Vernon Bailey, Veterans Memorial, Veterans, Vivian Anderson Castleberry, West, West Side, and William B. Travis. The board will review these suggestions before making the final decision, tentatively set for December 14, 2020. Carl Detloff, superintendent, also reminded attendees that a new mascot would be considered on the campus level. At the Monday, November 9th meeting, the board listened to 7 speakers in favor of 2 of the suggested names, Major Troy L. Gilbert and Mary Frances Butler Owens, both connected to San Angelo. 5 of the speakers presented Gilbert, a San Angelo student, ASU graduate, and an Air Force pilot who died rescuing 21 soldiers in Iraq in 2006. His body did not return to the U.S. until 10 years later. His mother, sister, and 3 friends attended the meeting in support of Major Troy L. Gilbert Middle School. Naming the school after my brother gives the students a real person to look up to, said Gilbert's sister. He was service before self, all the time. Just by naming the school after him would give us an opportunity to educate and inspire students. 2 women, one of whom spoke for the San Angelo NAACP stepped forward to suggest Mary Frances Butler Owens, a San Angelo Blackshear teacher of 65 years before retirement. Following retirement, she spent 29 years as a substitute, often at Robert E. Lee Middle School. Dudra Butler, Owens's niece and San Angelo NAACP vice president, spoke for the organization. "We know that during the engagement process, it was suggested that the new name should not reflect a person," Butler said. "However, we are very confident that it is time to consider the naming of a school for an individual who deserves local honor." H-T-O, spelled capital H, capital T, E-A, capital O, planning to open December 2020 in San Angelo, hiring process coming soon, by Rosanna Frere, published November 9th. More than 2 years after announcing its location, HTO in San Angelo is scheduled to open in December 2020. The tea shop will be run by franchisee Brian Benson and general manager Frank Diaz at 2118 South Bryant Boulevard. They will be serving 24 flavors of iced tea, sweet and unsweet, as well as snack foods, including beef jerky, chips, and skinny pop. The store will be open from 7 a.m. to 8:05 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 8:05 p.m. on Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 8:05 p.m. on Sundays. Benson said they are looking to hire 20 to 25 employees. Follow updates on the business's Facebook page, www.facebook.com/HTEA San Angelo, with information on how to apply coming in the next week. There will be also opportunities to win free tea for a year posted on the Facebook page. Benson, a 17-year resident of San Angelo, got into the tea business after traveling through Amarillo and seeing a long line of people at HTO and decided to give it a try. "It wowed me from that moment on," Benson said. San Angelo man arrested after allegedly pushing and hitting 11-year-old over missing PlayStation 4, by Rosanna Frere, published November 9th. A San Angelo man has been arrested after allegedly hitting and pushing a child over a missing PlayStation 4, according to arrest affidavits. On November 4th, San Angelo police officers were dispatched to the 2900 block of Freeland Avenue in reference to a domestic dispute. Witnesses said there was a verbal altercation between a 21-year-old man and an 11-year-old over a missing PlayStation, which belonged to the child. The man pushed the child to the floor and struck them numerous times in the face and torso with a closed fist after the verbal argument escalated, according to documents. There were visible injuries to the face and left arm of the child, according to the records. According to the man, the altercation turned physical after the defendant and his younger sister were assaulted. He admitted to striking the child twice on the shoulder with an open hand. Adam Irabazo was charged with injury to a child, elderly individual, or disabled individual with intentional bodily injury with a $25,502 bond. He was released from the Tom Green County Jail on Sunday, November 8th. Shannon converting beds to prepare for COVID-19 patients as virus surges in San Angelo, by John Tufts, published November 6th. As coronavirus cases again rise in the Concho Valley, Shannon Medical Center is making preparations to ensure it has enough capacity to treat the expected influx of patients if the trend continues. San Angelo hit a new record high of positive cases Friday, November 6th, after health officials reported 214 new cases of COVID-19 out of those tested in Tom Green County. On Saturday, 159 new positive tests were reported, bringing the total number of local patients being monitored by health officials up to 914. On Thursday, there were 108 new positive cases of the virus, according to information released by the city. This week, school district officials reported up to 46 San Angelo ISD students had tested positive for the virus as of Saturday. Officials at Shannon say they have instituted plans to deal with the surge of COVID-19. Shannon Health has more than 600 licensed beds between its downtown and recently acquired South Campus facilities, a spokesperson confirmed Friday, and said staff have begun converting space necessary to house more patients infected with the virus. Out of 600 beds, 31 are for Shannon's intensive care unit. As of Friday, November 6th, Shannon had 57 patients admitted for COVID-19 between both hospital campuses. "We have converted beds to a COVID unit," said spokesperson Lindy Stone. "That way we can safely maintain isolation and safety for both patients and staff." Stone said officials at Shannon have a multi-stage plan to deal with COVID-19 should numbers increase further, and said officials can convert other beds into additional ICU beds, convert units into additional COVID-only areas, and expand the number of patients they could accommodate overall. Out of the 57 current patients admitted for the virus Friday, 6 required a ventilator and 9 others were on BiPAP oxygen support. Stone said Shannon has more than 70 ventilators and that it was important to note not every hospitalized COVID patient would need a ventilator. "We have other methods for delivering additional oxygen, like BiPAP, that can be used first and has worked well for many patients. Additionally, not all COVID patients require supplementary oxygen support," Stone stated. Stone said she was concerned to see the drastic increases in positive cases in San Angelo, which has also led to an increase in hospitalizations. "As a community, we all have the ability to help in this. Everyone has shared this message for months, but the simple steps of limiting interaction with others, social distancing, washing your hands, and wearing a mask all have the ability to make a significant impact to help curtail the spread," Stone said. Stone urged San Angelo residents to remember that while COVID-19 symptoms could be mild for healthy individuals, a virus could be fatal to certain segments of the population. "While it's true that the majority of people testing positive are experiencing mild symptoms to moderate symptoms, the potential spread from those people to the elderly or immunocompromised patients with other conditions could be fatal. What we can do collectively is important in the fight against the virus," she said. Tom Green County has logged 94 deaths since April, and 57 of those were county residents. San Angelo could hit threshold local officials warned us about. What happens then? On October 30th, San Angelo Mayor Brenda Gunter spoke to local media to address rising cases of COVID-19 and said residents could begin to see restrictions. During the same media briefing, Nate Southard, who spoke on behalf of Tom Green County Judge Steve Floyd, hinted that county officials could enforce shutdown and occupancy restrictions. "In the unfortunate event that hospitalizations rates were to rise past the 15% level, it would take some of the options out of our local leaders' hands. I think Judge Floyd's office would come to the conclusion that we need to stay in line with Governor Abbott's most recent order and following safety protocols," Southard said. Governor Greg Abbott's order that went into effect October 14th refers to high hospitalization rates, which it defines as 7 consecutive days of COVID-19 hospitalizations that exceeds 15% of hospital capacity within a trauma service area. San Angelo is part of Trauma Service Area K, which covers Koch, Concho, Crockett, Irion, Kimball, Mason, McCulloch, Menard, Reagan, Runnels, Schleicher, Sterling, Sutton, and Tom Green counties. Between these counties, there are 179,457 people, according to the 2020 population estimate. When pressed on what safety protocols the county would enforce, Southard offered no specifics and said county officials would make difficult decisions on a case-by-case scenario. Gunter stressed such decisions would be weighed carefully. "There's multiple layers of decision-making," Gunter said. One is if we choose to start closing businesses, if we choose to reduce occupancy, if we choose not to approve special events. It's not just one thing, it would be a laundry list of things that we would reevaluate. Tom Green County Judge says area is still in the safe zone and hopes we stay that way. On Friday, November 6th, Tom Green County Judge Steve Floyd said the number one priority was to ensure hospitals wouldn't become overwhelmed with virus cases and hoped people would behave responsibly. "We know people are tired of being told what to do," Floyd said. "The age group that seems to be trending upward the fastest are the 20 to 29-year-olds. That indicates they're the ones who are probably out and about, but least likely to be hospitalized due to their immune systems or high percentage of COVID morbidity factors." Floyd said that while the hospitalization rate in the Concho Valley was a fluid number due to several factors, projected future hospitalization rates showed the area possibly climbing to as high as 14%. "We're still in a safe zone," Floyd said. "If the worst case scenario does happen within the next week or 10 days and manifests itself in hospitalizations, then my discretion may be taken out. Obviously, we're hoping the trending changes because we did move from 40 to 50 hospitalized in a very short time," he said. Local Public Health Authority states it's up to San Angelo residents. Public Health Authority Dr. James Bretis has urged residents to take COVID-19 seriously so hospitals wouldn't be overwhelmed in the coming weeks. "What happens during the next few weeks isn't about government intervention. It's going to be determined by how San Angelo residents act," Bretis said. "We're doing so much better than everybody around us, but we're just hanging on by a little thread." Stone said if San Angelo reaches the 15% threshold, Shannon will pause certain services and reassign staff to help with the surge of patients. "If we experience a surge, we will begin rolling out the first steps of our plan," Stone said. "We have a team of physicians, leaders, and staff that make up our COVID task force. They are in contact with other experts around the country, as well as our city and county leaders and other hospitals in our region, so that we can work together and prepare together. Our mission is to be able to care for our residents here in the Concho Valley," she said. Floyd thought that Shannon was well equipped to handle a surge in positive cases. "I think Shannon has done an excellent job preparing, and the state appears ready to send in additional personnel if needed," Floyd said. Gunter said last week that she and other officials tasked with steering San Angelo through the COVID-19 pandemic do not want residents to live in fear or be fearful of their neighbors, but to be responsible. "Do the right thing, citizens. Help us. We need your help to continue to work toward reducing the number of positives in our community," she said. Where to receive a COVID-19 test in San Angelo? Testing sites are at Shannon Urgent Care West, 4251 Sunset Drive, and Shannon Urgent Care North, 2626 North Bryant Boulevard. The sites are available from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. all week. These are drive-through testing sites. People can enter the parking lot where they will stop at an intercom and be asked for registration information. They will also get additional instructions. Patients may drive up and be evaluated in their vehicle by a medical provider. If the provider determines the patient may have COVID-19, according to the criteria set by the CDC, the patient will then be tested on site, according to Shannon's website. Personnel at the testing location will collect the samples for the test. The patient will then receive instructions regarding self-quarantine and next steps they must take until test results are returned. No appointment is needed, and there is no cost to the patient for the test, Shannon's website states. For more information, contact the Shannon COVID hotline at 844-674-2666 or visit www.shannonhealth.com. Veterans Honored with Parade in San Angelo by Colin Murphy. Published November 7th. Hundreds of spectators turned out in downtown San Angelo on Saturday to honor those who have served in the armed forces during the annual Veterans Day Parade. The event included marching bands, floats, reenactors, first responders, and other parade participants. The parade came 4 days before Veterans Day, which is officially observed November 11th. The holiday honors the service of all U.S. military veterans. The parade featured a variety of youth from area schools and organizations, including the Lakeview and Central High Schools, Air Force, Junior ROTC, and marching bands. Many local veteran support groups also guided floats down the parade route in downtown San Angelo. Mayor Brenda Gunter made an appearance, waving to the crowd from the back of a pickup, and several local fire departments and other first responders also participated in the event. Historic Murals of San Angelo Executive Director Susan Morris Passes Away at Age 90 by John Tufts. Published November 6th. Susan Steers Morris, who dedicated the later years of her life to helping literally paint San Angelo's history on the wall, passed away November 4th. She was age 90, according to a news release from Historic Murals of San Angelo Incorporated, in which Morris served as executive director. Morris helped facilitate 14 murals in downtown San Angelo after returning to Texas in 1997, forming Historic Murals of San Angelo, according to a news release. In 2002, The History of Transportation in San Angelo, painted by artist Crystal Goodman, became the first mural sponsored by Historic Murals of San Angelo Incorporated. Both Goodman and fellow artist Style Reed painted the remaining murals, according to the release. Information about the murals is available at the group's official website, www.historicmuralsofsanangelo.org. Morris received several prestigious honors in her lifetime, which include the Spirit of San Angelo Award by the San Angelo Chamber of Commerce in 2009, and the Santa Angela Award, which recognizes and pays tribute to women who have contributed to the well-being of our city, according to the release. Susan's legacy will live on for many years to come. She advocated for the protection and preservation of the bountiful West Texas history in the city of San Angelo. The historic mural's theme, "Our Past Has Us Up Against the Walls," is most fitting, the release stated. Wounded Vet Receives Brand New Car at San Angelo Dealership by Colin Murphy, published November 5th. As part of a joint effort between Wells Fargo, Mitchell Buick GMC, and the Military Warriors Support Foundation, retired U.S. Air Force Staff Sergeant George Campbell and his family will no longer have to worry about access to reliable transportation. During his time in the armed forces, Campbell received multiple military awards, including a Purple Heart for being wounded in combat. On Thursday, during a ceremony at the Mitchell Buick GMC dealership in San Angelo, Campbell received a brand new, free of charge, 2020 GMC Terrain. The gift was made possible through the Military Warriors Support Foundation's Transportation for Heroes program. David Doherty, representing the Military Warriors Support Foundation, said the Transportation for Heroes program was just the latest effort started by an organization dedicated to ensuring veterans receive the support they need when they return home. "We're a nonprofit organization that started 13 years ago," Doherty said. "Our founder, retired Lieutenant General Leroy Sisko, saw that there was a need to support our families as they transition out of the military and restructure themselves into civilian life in their communities. The Transportation for Heroes program is a newer program, and we are excited about it." Campbell said he was thankful for the gift and said he and his family already have plans for how to break it in on the road. "Now the boys and I can travel back and forth to West Virginia to see my dad and their granddad, and we don't have to worry. We have a solid vehicle now, It will give us a little more freedom to do what we want to do, Campbell said. Planting a tree now provides benefits for the future, by Allison Watkins, published November 10th. Trees are very valuable additions to the home landscape, Warren Buffett said. Someone sitting in the shade today because someone planted a tree a long time ago. It takes time to realize the full benefits of trees, and we should all plan ahead for future enjoyment by planting trees now. Since trees are such important, permanent parts of the landscape, good selection is essential. Choose trees that thrive in the local climate. One good resource to help choose the right tree for your yard is the website texastreeplanting.tamu.edu. Enter your zip code and choose from certain criteria to see a list of recommended species. Some of the recommended large shade trees for the Concho Valley include cedar elm, bur oak, and chinquapin oak. These are all tolerant to drought and alkaline soil, are long-lived, and are excellent choices for home landscapes. Medium-sized shade tree recommendations include western soapberry, Chinese pistache, lacy oak, and Texas ash. Small ornamental trees also provide benefits and are part of good landscape design. Texas mountain laurel, flame leaf sumac, desert willow, Texas redbud, and Mexican buckeye are great small trees to choose from. Late fall is a wonderful time of year to plant trees. Follow good planting techniques to have the most success and end up with a healthy, vigorously growing new tree. Visit https://tfsweb.tamu.edu/arborday/planting steps to see tips on how to properly plant a tree. Be careful to dig the correct depth and don't plant the tree too deep. Planting trees too deep is a common cause of early tree death, or if the tree survives, it can cause significant health and aesthetic issues later on. Do apply a thick layer of mulch around the newly planted tree. Research shows that thick mulch helps trees grow better than without. Try to avoid staking newly planted trees. It's usually not necessary, but if staking is needed, don't leave on for more than 1 year. Don't fertilize newly planted trees. Wait a year and see if any fertilization is needed at that point. Most recommended tree species will be well adapted and should not require much fertilization. Tree placement is an important landscape design component. Consider placing large shade trees at 45-degree angles off the corners of the home and the front yard. This will frame the home to highlight it and help the home appear larger. When trees are planted in the middle of the front yard, visually cutting the front of the home in half, it can make the home appear smaller. Allison Watkins is the Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Agent for Horticulture in Tom Green County. Contact her at aewatkins@ag.tamu.edu.
Thank you for joining us for this reading of the San Angelo Standard Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.